New Thought Media Network. We are a global broadcast network of positive music, media, and entertainment. Inspiring humanity's evolution along the journey of enlightenment and creating a world of love, peace, empowerment, and prosperity for all. New Thought Media Network. Positively inspiring. And hello again, dear ones. Dr. Robert hanging out behind the banner there. Welcome to the good news. It's Friday night, 5 o'clock on the mountain time zone. Chance to kick back, relax, and enjoy some good news stories. Those stories that remind us we really are creating a world that works for all life that is. And this evening, we're starting with Human Life, International Women's Day, celebrating women all across the planet, all the various women you may know in your lives, celebrating the contribution that women make to this vision and this demonstration of a world that works for everyone. If you're a lady out there, if you're a woman, please drop a chat in the box. Let us know you're with us tonight. Even if you're watching on a replay, perhaps you're watching it another time, feel free to chime along, chat along, drop your comments in the comment box as we go along this evening. All right, first up, crime is down. 2023 recorded likely the largest single year drop in homicides across the United States. This is all according to the FBI and their quarterly uniform crime report. Data from Q3 of 2023 shows that nearly all crime in the U.S. is going down, and in some places to pre-pandemic levels, and in many places to multi-decade lows. This includes violent crime averages, as well as murder, rape, aggravated assault, robbery, property crime, burglary, larceny. It rubs against the public perception of rising crime in America. Means somehow the media is getting it, not necessarily getting it right. They say if it, we know what they say about the media. Videos of shoplifters brazenly robbing places like Rite Aid and Neiman Marcus were fodder for social media, and paired with riots across the U.S. in the summer of 2020 gave the impression that American citizens and cities were taking on a character that looked more like something like Escape from New York. All in all, crime is down. And this is a good thing. This is what we need in America. Now, folks, remember, we do get most of our stories over at thegoodnewsnetwork.org. That's goodnewsnetwork.org. Please feel free to drop by there. Give them a little love. Give them some attention. They do a great job of curating great news stories. We pick and choose from there and from other sources to make sure we bring you these good news stories. All right. Next up, India. India has reduced the official poverty level to below 5%. This is according to a consumer expenditure survey that was conducted by the National Sample Survey Office of India. Now, India is a big place, and the last such survey was released over a decade ago. Over the latest sample period, the office separated respondents into 20 different categories based on household incomes and found that the average per capita monthly expenditure in rural households is about $45. In urban household, it reaches up to $78. That's monthly. This is the lowest divide in monthly expenditures between urban and rural Indians ever recorded. And since the last survey, there have been a 2.5-fold increase in consumption in both urban and rural households. All this is suggesting that significant progress is being made at alleviating poverty in the nation. Consumption is often used to measure strength and prosperity in modern economics. As a method, it has major flaws, such as the ability to disguise underlying weaknesses. But the NSSO believes that their data indicates the fall of poverty in India to below 5%. Good news for India and for everyone. You know, folks, we got to remember there is more than enough for everyone out there to have everything they desire and everything that's necessary. We just got to open up to that consciousness and then do the work of moving the numbers around and moving the money around. But it's happening. Hey, here's another really interesting story that ran across my desk. New Zealand is really working towards turning wood chips into battery graphite. Now, stick with me on this story because graphite is an indispensable resource for mass battery production. A firm in New Zealand has discovered a way to synthesize this critical mineral with wood chips. We're making biographite out of wood chips. The company claims that with just 5% of all the wood byproducts from the lumber industry, they could meet half the total global projected graphite demand for EV and power grid scale batteries by 2030. That's not that far away. Heck, let's give them 10% of the wood graphite. Let them make or wood byproducts. Let them make us 100% of the graphite that's needed. Because this story gets better by preventing the burning or the decomposition of the wood byproducts. The process actually removes 2.7 tons of carbon, the equivalent of every ton of biographite produced. So for every ton of biographite, we pull 2.7 tons of carbon out of the equation. Cool stuff. The company's called Carbonscape. They've already secured $18 million in fundings from companies in Finnish and Sweden, as well as a Hong Kong-based battery producer. Their production method is called thermocatalytic graphitization. Say that time three times fast. What happens is they basically produce charcoal, and then using the charcoal, turn that into the graphite. Graphite is used for battery anodes for which high purity graphite is required and for which the biographite is actually graded. Cool stuff. I love this. We're creating the graphite that's necessary to make the batteries and we don't have to mine for graphite. Carbonscape also points out that the production of biographite can take place near either lumber mills or battery factories, therefore eliminating even more carbon by reducing unnecessary transportation. Folks, we really are creating a world that works better for everyone. I love it. Thanks for being with us. We're going to take a real quick break here, let a couple of our sponsors say hello, let you know a little bit more about what's happening around New Thought Media Network. However, we've got more great and good news stories coming up, so please stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Yes, we want to invite you to become a member, a free member, over at community.ntmedia.org, or you can head over to the website ntmedia.org and click on the button that says community. Join our new brand new community platform, open and available to you right now. Free membership. Do it today. All right, back into the good news stories. You know, I tell you, folks, I don't know. I do know. This is how the universe works. Recently, only been home from our Kenya experience for a few weeks, and every week I seem to find another good news story coming out of Africa. This one is a lost bird that's not been seen in about two decades. For the first time, scientists have captured photos of a bird in Africa known as the yellow-crested helmet shrike. Shrike. The yellow-crested helmet shrike. That seems appropriate for this bird. The species has been listed on the lost bird by the American Bird Conservancy because it had not been spotted in nearly two decades. Scientists from the University of Texas at El Paso discovered a small flock of the birds during a six-week expedition to a mountain range in eastern Democratic Republic of the Congo. One of the scientists was quoted as saying, "It was a mind-blowing experience to come across these birds. We knew they might be possible here, but I was not prepared for how spectacular and unique they would appear in real life." That's Michael Harvey. Harvey co-led the expedition with Professor Eli Greenbaum, a PhD. They were joined by an ornithologist, Matt Brady, as well as a group of Congolese researchers from a local center. The team trekked on foot for 75 miles into the mountains, studying birds, amphibians, and reptiles along the way. In total, 18 helmet shrikes appeared in noisy and active groups among the mid-layer of forest vegetation at three different sites during the expedition. You know, I love folks highlighting these stories of life emerging, life continuing, things, and keeping this bird was never lost. They were there somewhere. We just didn't go looking for them in the right places or at the right times. And here they are. Leads me to our next story. I love this one too. I want to introduce you to Ari Smith. He's known as Zioma. He on YouTube. He's got a YouTube channel. And he recently went to visit the Cree Nation in Canada. Now, one of Ari's gifts in the world is he's a polyglot. He travels from country to country and speaks over 50 languages at various levels of fluidity. Over 50 languages currently. He surprises locals by speaking their language to them on camera. And usually it is followed by some confusion and then some acceptance. They've developed a program called repeataftermecree.com. That's repeataftermecree.com, where they have a 52-week lesson of the Cree language. They were wondering how to get this information out there, and so turned to Ari to help with the promotions. What an interesting story. It says here, Cree is notoriously difficult, even among indigenous North American languages. In the 23-minute video of his trip to the Cree land, Smith surprises multiple passersby with some Cree chit-chat that he learned from their course. And the response is varied again from surprise and mirth to emotionally overwhelming. The elders at first were kind of like, "Who is this weirdo with the camera?" Ari, this is according to Ari. And then when I started speaking Cree, they were kind of like, "Oh, okay, that's pretty cool." You can catch the video and more over on the Good News Network, goodnewsnetwork.org. Check out all the stories over there again as well. Hey, and you know how I love stories about people doing good in the world. And I love this story, perhaps because there's a little bit of restaurateur in my background as well. A Staten Island restaurant highlights home cooking from around the world. And the unique part is it's run by a group of grandmothers. Enoteca Maria is open Friday, Saturday, and Sunday for visitors to get a glimpse inside another world. As the menu prepared for each week is designed to cook by and to order by a staff of grandmothers. From Syria to Peru, Japan to Sicily, the Nonas of the World project showcases traditional home cooking by those in the family who almost always do it the best. Whether they're American citizens, visiting grandmothers, or even refugees, the food and recipes are cooked the way they ought to be, the way they always were. What an interesting idea. Now, this was established by the son of a Sicilian immigrant. Enoteca Maria opened in 2007 with a staff entirely of Italian nonas or grandmothers. More than 100 women have come through the doors since then, representing Sri Lanka, Syria, Bulgaria, Greece, South Korea, and Siberian regions. La Repubblica reports the visiting contributing of grandmothers. There is also visiting contributions of grandmothers from Egypt, Peru, Japan, Azerbaijan, Algeria, Turkey, and Argentina. The owner, Joe Scaravelli, opened the restaurant to try and replace something he lost, his own grandmother, the sweetest woman on earth, he says, who raised him and who was the best cook he knew. But they started as a homage to what started as a homage to his Sicilian heritage, transformed into a living cultural experience. Wow. Almost worth making a trip to Staten Island, don't you think, folks? I think it very well could be. Oh, wow. What a story. Hey, and while we're in the restaurant industry for a minute, let me introduce you to Alan Moncayo. Alan arrived to deliver lunch. The only thing he expected to walk away with might have been a tip. However, what he brought, an office lunch to a Virginia animal shelter, he got so much more than just a gratuity. Moncayo arrived with a Grubhub delivery outside the Lorton campus of the Fairfax County Animal Hospital this past February. Walking to the door, he saw a dog staring at him through the window. It was love at first sight, he told People magazine. He looked at me and I looked back at him. My daughter's been asking for a puppy for the longest time. She wanted a dog more than anything. Now, it happened to be a Saturday. Moncayo had his five-year-old daughter in the car with him. And while the black and white pit bull in the window wasn't exactly a puppy, he couldn't shake the feeling that this pooch was something special. He asked if the two of them could meet the dog and were allowed to take him out of the kennel to play fetch. The dog had been at Lorton for 240 days, 10 times as long as the average stay for an animal. Since its owner surrendered him, he had become like a mascot for the hospital, greeting visitors, playing with toys, going on hikes, jumping on the countertops, wagging his tail. As that happened, Moncayo's visit happened to coincide with the Super Bowl, and the shelter was trying to drive adoptions around the big game with an adoption bowl for linebacker-sized dogs. Oh, got better and better. Another puppy dog found their forever family. What a great story, folks. I love this kind of stuff. All life, right? Creating a world that works for all life. Hey, we got to take another quick break and make sure we take a chance to say thank you to our organizational sponsors and donors. However, we got more stories coming up, including our hero of the week. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more in just a moment. Please help us say thank you to our organizational sponsors, including the Heffernan Foundation, Affiliated New Thought Network, International New Thought Alliance, Science of Mind Archives and Library Foundation, Center for Spiritual Living Denver, Center for Spiritual Living Midtown, New Thought Philadelphia, Planned Happiness Institute, Summit Center for Spiritual Living, One Heart Retreats, Center for Spiritual Living on the Lake, Unity Kitchener, Unity Spiritual Center, Ottawa, Om Center for Spiritual Living, Satya Center, Begin Within Ministries, Center for Spiritual Living, North Jersey, Unity of Savannah, and the Center for Spiritual Living, Seattle, as well as all of our individual donors. Thank you for being part of the New Thought Media Network. Please like, share, and subscribe. New Thought Media Network, positively inspiring. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you, thank you, thank you to all of our organizational sponsors and individual donors. You help make New Thought Media Network what it is. You help us get that word out, get this message out across the planet to the places and the people that want to hear it the most, that need to hear it the most, that are listening for this type of a message. Thanks again for being a part of what we're doing here. If you'd like to join the New Thought Media Network family and support us financially, please head on over to the website, ntmedia.org. That's ntmedia.org. Click on the donate button, making a monthly donation, and we'll include your name in the next version of our thank you video. All right, back into the good news here on a Friday night. I tell you folks, this one, wow. Now, ARC, we're going to tell you what that means in a moment, becomes a life raft saving over 15,000 animals from Ukraine with rescue partners in Germany. Now, the war in the Ukraine recently passed its two-year mark, and more than 15,000 animals impacted by the war have been saved by PETA Germany and the Ukraine-based Animal Rescue Kharkiv, ARK. You see what they did there, right? There's been big name stories in the news of lions and black bears and other zoo animals making it into being accidentally released due to the war. But however, there are countless, well, they're counting them, but almost countless domestic animals that have been saved as well. ARC's dedicated teams are providing upwards of 40 tons of food per month to cats, dogs, horses, donkeys, and other animals. They offer free spay and neutering surgeries to 150 animals every month and are helping to maintain refuges for animals in Kharkiv. With their partners in Germany, many of these animals are getting second or even third chances at a life with international rescue programs. PETA is understandably proud of the work that ARC, whom they support, is doing and posts regular updates anytime animals are saved. Most of their stories and videos, like the rescued pregnant dog and her eight puppies, involve soldiers and civilians going out of the way to desperate times to care for and shelter animals abandoned during shelling or other violent flare-ups. Nearly all of the animals rescued need immediate medical treatment for shrapnel injuries, broken bones, or infections. ARC's hospital treats a staggering 100 to 130 animals per day, such as goats, a goat that came in who suffered with a broken leg. Animals don't wage wars, but they're victim of them, left to suffer without food, water, or veterinary attention for grievous injuries unless someone who cares comes to their aid. That's President Inga Newkirk, PETA president. PETA urges everyone to consider the animals impacted by conflicts and the heroes putting their own lives at risk to help them. Thank you, PETA, for being a part of the solution. This next story, grab your tissues, grab your Kleenex. These twins are thriving 10 years after open heart surgery at a Queensland Children's Hospital. These two beautiful boys were each born with a different form of congenital heart defects. And despite dozens of procedures, they're healthy and living lives, playing rugby on the weekends. Benson and Albert Tass were each born with heart valve problems and had to be operated on immediately after birth. And that was at the Queensland Children's Hospital. Dr. Nelson Alfonso, a pediatric cardiologist, performed the operation, which saw Benson and Albert taken from their mother immediately. The poor woman wasn't even afforded a moment to hold her newborns before they were rushed away. Dr. Alfonso performed open heart surgery on both infants, a cardiovascular reconstruction with a bovine pericardium. Benson went into sepsis and had to be washed out with 3 liters of water. A month passed, and Mama admitted she was sad all the time, but then a phone call arrived early on a Christmas morning from the hospital. Dr. Alfonso said Albert and Benson's cases were highly unusual. They came out on top, said Mother Maria. Wow. The twins have undergone countless tests, scans, and procedures since that weird entry into the world. But Mother Maria and Father Farron do everything they can to ensure that they're able to live their best lives. They are playing rugby on the weekends for years now. Dr. Alfonso admitted that the field has rapidly advanced over the last decade and that the majority of the pediatric department's focus is now tailored towards reducing the complications as much as possible. What a great, great story. So grateful to hear these young men are still with us in the world. All right, folks, but that's not our greatest story of the week. We still have our hero of the week. A 5-year-old girl was reported missing near Tampa after the autistic child wandered off and got lost in a swamp. Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office deployed their aviation unit with thermal imaging to a heavily wooded area after receiving a call about the missing child. Speaking to officers among the reeds and cypress, the pilot located the girl about an hour after the search began. Body cam footage released by the Sheriff's County office shows the three officers finding and calling her name. "We were looking for you, sweetheart," said one. Fortunately, the girl came to the officers instead of running away and potentially hurting herself more. And she seemed perfectly happy when one of the rescue teams lifted her out of the water and onto dry land. Sheriff Chad Cronister commended the officers, saying that their quick action saved the day, turning a potential tragedy into a hopeful reunion. Their dedication shows that service and protection are what we're all about here at the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office, according to the sheriff's statement. Thank you, gentlemen. Congratulations for being our hero of the week, doing the work that so few want to do, in order to be heroes when the time is necessary. We thank you. What a great story. Yes, Kathy, such blessings. Exactly. All right, folks, I'm Dr. Robert. I'm going to get out of here for tonight, let you get back into your Friday evening. I want to thank you for spending some time with me. And hey, remember, coming up in just a half an hour, Reverend Michael Mangus with the Fireside Chat starts at 6 o'clock. Plan to join us for that. And I can tell you, coming in the near future, we're going to start sharing even more inspirational messaging with you on Friday nights at 7 in Mountain Time. But I'm not going to tell you what that is just yet. We'll tell you about that in the near future. All right, I'm out of here for now. Thanks again for being with us. Until next time, I wish you peace and richest blessings. Bye now.